Nigel, just request whenever you're ready. Let me pin the tweets in question first, and then we can begin. Too funny. Here it is. So in case you're just joining us, we're going to have a discussion with Nigel Carlsbad, who I'm not saying this to be rude, but I've never seen you before on Twitter. But he tweeted today, I pinned the tweet, the problem with the Jewish-fed Teal Network line of attack is that it must eventually face the elephant in the room that Tucker Carlson's writers have close connections to Claremont, yet he's a leading, effective pro-white voice. No one will cross that Rubicon. Which I have before, and I did again today. I said, yeah, except that's not true. He's not pro-white. He's anti-white, which is not a distinction without a difference. It's a meaningful distinction. And either way, that he is effective or not doesn't mean he's not connected to Claremont, and it doesn't mean that Claremont is not connected to Teal. But let's bring him on, Nigel. He's connecting. He's muted. Okay, what's going on, big guy?
Nothing much, Nick. Or how should I call you, Nick or Mr. Fuentes? Because I'm not really familiar with you much either.
I'm Nick. Yeah. So you're not American either, huh?
Nope.
Where are you from, can you say, or is that too much of a dox?
I'm from the Balkans, let's put it that way. But
why are you guys all from the Balkans?
I don't know, man. I guess probably that clannishness, you know, maybe HBD chick will tell you. But
yeah, maybe.
I apparently did misunderstand you because, like I said, I don't really follow you directly or listen to your streams. All I see is how the Groypers in my mentions reply. And I got sent to one of your Telegram posts yesterday where you said that, you know, there is nothing in principle wrong with, you know, people like Teal, you know, financing elite patronage or so forth, that you have a specific beef with some factions of the Tealverse, you know, BAP, the bureaucrat, Loki Julianus. And specifically, you mentioned BAP's anti-Christianity and his attempt to suppress discussion of the Israel lobby. Mm-hmm. Which and so this is why I'm kind of curious as to how you are conceptualizing these fissures in the entire Claremont network, because there clearly are distinctions. I mean, like, BAP is, like, not at all friendly to Chazon's national conservatism. He's not friendly to the kind of, you know, trads who, you know, cite G.K. Chesterton or whatever. You know, there's very much all of these, like, he's not a post-liberal, you know, obviously. So that's why I'm kind of curious. Because initially, from my perspective, speaking as an outside observer, the way this whole thing started, BAP, you've been having some, you know, personal problems, you know, some disputes with BAP since 2019, from what I've been told. And I know that I don't particularly care about that. But recently he retweeted some allegations about you, which, as far as I can tell, are false. And this motivated you to return and to sort of, you know, set the record straight. The first wave was primarily about, you know, getting even with BAP, which, you know, I agree that it was perfectly justifiable for you to, you know, maintain your personal satisfaction to defend your honor. That's nothing wrong with that. But then you returned with a second wave against the bureaucrat and some other people. And here I'm not entirely sure about the motivations, you know, how you're conceptualizing this network, because I didn't know that you had criticized, you know, Tucker for being too soft or whatever. I was under the impression that, you know, you largely regard him as because most people who I speak to, they consider Tucker to be kind of a gateway for America First stuff. So I don't know, but go ahead.
Yeah, I like Tucker. I think he's doing good work, but you know, your tweet specifically says that talking about the Teal Network negatively is a problem. It's a contradiction. Well, not a contradiction, but nobody will point out that if that's going on, then Tucker is associated with it, which he clearly is,
right?
Because like you said, Curtis Yarvin was on his daytime show, and you look at the guests on the Tucker Show, like Gabbard has been on there, and the writers are clearly affiliated with Claremont. And I'm saying, you know, that, well, I have been calling out that elephant in the room. I think that the Tucker Show has gotten a lot softer over the past year. And I don't, honestly, I don't think it ever really went as far as maybe a lot of people would like to believe, you know, because if you pay very close attention to the rhetoric from Tucker, I agree with you. I think it's a gateway. He's on Fox. It's a different audience. There's a lot of things we could say to qualify this, but fundamentally, he's not, I don't have any reason to believe that he personally is all the way there, or he's pushing anyone else all the way there. The few times that he's talked about replacement migration, he said that it's not about race. It's about voting rights. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, there was kind of this phenomenon going on back during the alt-right, alt-light split, where there was this ambiguity. And I don't know if you remember, but for a long time, the so-called alt-right was a big tent before Hailgate, before Charlottesville. Everybody that wasn't like a neocon was called alt-right, mm-hmm. until the left kind of caught on and they said, hey, well, like, do you have like, there's a lot of bad people in the alt-right, a lot of, you know, anti-Semites and this and that. And the fault lines became a lot more sharp and rigid. And then you had people like, you know, Jordan Peterson or others going out there and explicitly saying white identity politics is bad. And so as before, there was like this, you know, either conscious or unconscious ambiguity. Then there was no ambiguity. And there were people that were clearly like with Rebel Media or Jordan Peterson or others were clearly saying like, no, like we support Israel and we are not like white identitarians and so on. And they forced a split because of that, you know, perceived ambiguity. And I feel like there's kind of like something similar here where it's like, okay, if Tucker is sort of ambiguous about maybe what he really feels, that's one thing. But when he repeatedly goes on the show and says like identity politics is evil, which he did after the Buffalo shooting, and explicitly said, you know, migration is happening, but it has nothing to do with race and it's about voting rights and the great white replacement theory is a spook pushed by liberals. Again, it's not to say that Tucker doesn't do good work, but it also that he is with Claremont. I mean, if anything, it implicates him. It says like, well, yeah, he's pushing something that is actually quite similar to what Joe Kent is pushing and what Sourav Sharma is pushing. Sourav Sharma is another one who's probably with Thiel, which is this multiracial working class populism, inclusive populism. So if anything, it doesn't, you understand, like if Tucker and that network are connected, it doesn't mean the network is good because it's connected to Tucker. It means that Tucker should be scrutinized because he's connected to that network, which I think is actually more valid.
I have no objection to what you just said, actually. I suppose the multiracial working class populism, like obviously there's a whole bunch of, you know, economic nationalists or like fake religious conservatives who try to push that kind of a line. But in terms of BAP, low-key, and the bureaucrat, does that actually apply? Because, you know, from my observation, they tend to be quite contemptuous of the entire post-liberal project. So you know, my real question is that in your, as far as I can tell, you're trying to escalate the kind of special operation against the fake personalities on Frog Twitter as you see them. Who are the proper targets? Because I think there's a lot of collateral damage and friendly fire going on here.
Well, here's the thing about Bronze Age Pervert is me and him were cool. I mean, you probably know the backstory, but me and him were cool for a long time. And then here's the thing is like, I am very sensitive, not like emotionally, but like perceptively to like, the nature of these attacks on me. In other words, when BAP came out against my conference in 2019, it was disingenuous. And he's a smart guy, as you know, when somebody attacks you and their attack doesn't make sense, I don't say, oh, that person's foolish. I say, oh, well, that person has an ulterior motive. So when he went out and said that the Groyper Leadership Summit was a bad idea because it would be another Charlottesville, I texted him and explained, in case he didn't understand, like, what the event was going to be. I said, it's going to be a 25-person event. We know everybody that's coming. We're giving speeches, and then we're going to wrap it up. I said, like, maybe you don't understand that, but, you know, it's not going to be like what you think at all. And even in spite of that, and even in spite of how it actually went and the aftermath, he persisted with a very disingenuous attack, saying that, like, this was not just, like, futile, but reckless and dangerous, and that I was getting people killed and this kind of thing. And I said, okay, so, you know, we're cool for a long time. Then the Groyper War happens, and we're calling out specifically Israel First. We're calling out the social libertinism from Turning Point, as well as the demographics. Now, all of a sudden, I'm this big problem. Now it's like I'm being attacked, and et cetera, et cetera. So I say there's definitely an ulterior motive. I don't think he's stupid enough to think that GLS would be like Seville, and then it wasn't. Yet he persisted. That tells me that it had to do with the nature of what we're doing. And then you fast forward until now, and BAPS Twitter is all about, you know, it's a lot of, you understand the kind of stuff he retweets. It's more intellectual type stuff. And then he's going to amplify an obvious smear against me opportunistically. You know, once again, it's like, I think there's an ulterior motive going on here. And when I see, and by the way, Loki has done the same thing. Loki's another long-standing member of Frog Twitter, one of BAPS guys. He attacked me during the same time, during Groyper War, saying that I was a Chinese agent because my dad works for a company that has a factory in China or something like that, which is another disingenuous attack. And so it's like, so you put two and two together, and even have mutual friends with BAP. But when, in other words, when people come out of the woodwork in a coordinated fashion to respond, it looks like a beehive. It looks like a beehive. The queen bee has activated, and the beehive has swarmed to defend the queen. That's what it looks like to me. So you could say there's collateral damage, maybe, but I know what a swarm looks like when I see it. I know what inorganic looks like when I see it. And somebody pointed the other day that the same thing happened when Chris Bond attacked BAP, accusing him of being up with Thiel, and BAP didn't like that one bit. And same thing with Konpot. I don't even like Konpot, but when Konpot went on his attack against BAP, the same thing happened there. And so clearly, you know, he's up with that network, and he doesn't like when people talk about it. And, like, that is suspicious. That's all.
Well, as far as I can tell from what people have told me, Chris Bond even accused you of being part of the Thiel network.
Yeah, well, so I didn't care because I'm not.
Yeah, well, he definitely, his problem was his, I guess his intelligence gathering, you might say, was really sloppy. So, like, he became kind of a low-cal, an easy target, which, you know, completely derailed his message. I was actually speaking to Wendell, I'm sure you know him, just shortly before I came onto this space here, and he gave me a little bit of the background with you and BAP and the GLS, which sort of helped me understand the background that you're coming from, you know, the motivation behind here. I fully believe in the right of every man to wage his own private wars. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, when you're aggrieved, you do have to obtain satisfaction. I guess the real question to me is that now that it's, is it still in the realm of a private war, or are you now actually beginning to sort of do a more concerted effort to, like, target, like, specific groups and specific factions in, like, a more political sense?
I'm not targeting anybody. And the thing is, like,
oh, exposing, not, whatever, you get what I mean.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm not making a concerted effort to go against Thiel or even BAP. I mean, the past couple of days, BAP attacked me, and I responded by saying, well, you're attacking me because you've got this ulterior motive. But no, not particularly. The thing is, like I said, a lot of the Thiel-funded activities I don't think are actually so bad. Like, I don't think Vance is necessarily the worst. I don't really see an issue with Masters, honestly. And there's some other good stuff that he promotes. There's some people that I don't like that he promotes. And as far as BAP is concerned, there's just not even a lot of overlap. You know, we don't really right. cross paths. So he's going to do his thing. I don't really care. Ultimately, though, I think that there is going to be more friction as time goes on, because there's there is this battle going on for the succession of the Trump movement, and ultimately leading into the 24 campaign, you know, what's going to define the new Trumpism after the first term. And clearly you've got guys like me, and, you know, our thing is completely grassroots. And then you've got this sort of well-funded faction, which is a little bit heterogeneous, funded by Peter Thiel. So I wouldn't say that I'm making a concerted effort to target that faction, but, you know, we may necessarily collide at some point. I would like to cooperate, because I think that, you know, people like me and Beatty have sort of cooperated in a sense. I've promoted Revolver. I promoted him when he got fired from the White House. He's put our stuff on Revolver before. J.D. Vance has been asked to disavow Marjorie Taylor Greene for going to AFPAC, and he didn't, you know, so that was cool. And we've worked with some of the Thiel-funded candidates even, too. So, you know, I'm always in favor of cooperation, but I'm never the first one to strike. I'm never the first one to go out of my way to attack. It seems always to be the other way around. So, you know, I respond, and if people are going to present a problem, you know, then I'll have a problem. But otherwise, I'd like to cooperate, but we may be on a collision course if that's not, you know, if that's not in the cards.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair.
Yeah. What's your story? Are you with BAP? Are you rolling deep with the Thiel crew, or what's the story with that?
No, I'm basically a nobody. Like, I'm not, to me, BAP is just kind of an interesting gatekeeper of the discourse trademark. You know, I really don't have any particular connection to him. You know, I don't watch really any kind of political streaming. I'm not really particularly familiar with you, like I said, except to the extent that a lot of my followers are groypers, so I mostly just get secondhand information. So it's interesting to me, you know, to actually talk to you directly to sort of get it, you know, firsthand. You know, that really helps clear things up.
Yeah. So do you live in America, or do you live in the Balkans?
I live in the Balkans.
So why do you why are you so interested in American politics then?
Well, I mean, partially because I'm an American client state. I mean, like, it's not that if you go through any kind of like Twitter political culture, like, you're going to run into American politics. It's not that I have any specific interest in it. You just pretty much encounter it through osmosis. But, you know, yeah.
Interesting. Well, and tell me, so what is your position on, you say that AIPAC is different from the ADL. Can you explore that a little bit? polycratic divisions within the these institutions.
Oh boy, that was a completely trivial point I was making to Joel Davis. But, you know, we've sort of been feuding back and forth before. So, like, now he wanted to present me as some kind of Philo-Semitic Shabbos Goy, so he can get like a dunk on his, like, you know, his people. You know, I don't know. Like, I guess he's pissed off at me. I don't even recall how this started. I mean, I guess it's because of it started with you. I think you know, talking about BAP as a Zionist. You know, like that. You said in your Telegram post that one of your two main complaints with BAP was that he suppresses discussion of the Israel lobby. And before I go on, I suppose I should ask you to elaborate as to why you think that. Because as far as I can tell, now, he is hostile to Chazoni, but, you know, his project is kind of a unique thing in its own right. He certainly doesn't really talk about the Israel question, but then again, the argument from silence is very limited because, or the exact same thing applies to someone like Jared Taylor. So I want you to explain what you mean by this, your issue with that.
Well, I suspect that he began attacking me after Groyper War for that reason. And that's pure speculation. The other thing is, like you said, he does not talk about Jewish power. He does not talk about the Israel lobby. And those are extremely salient topics. It's not like we're saying he's not talking about you know, I don't know, the carried interest provision in the tax code. I mean, we're talking about something that is that's a staple on the dissident right for a reason. You know, whether you're silent on that or you're vocal about that, it's for a reason. It's because it's you talk about an elephant in the room. It's kind of one of the biggest things going on. And additionally, he has been promoted by Curtis Yarvin. And Curtis Yarvin is a, you know, neo-reactionary who characteristically does not support like any view about like Jewish institutional influence or disproportionate or anything like the nefarious Jewish influence. I remember when I was in college, I read Unqualified Reservations when I discovered Curtis Yarvin. And I remember doing command find on his entire archive for Jewish. And he had written like two articles in 10 years. And in both articles, he said, well, there's no such thing as a Jewish lobby or it's negligible. And he goes on Fox and says, oh, by the way, I'm an international Jew and the elite has no particular character. It's like, yes, it does. It absolutely does. It's Jewish. You're Jewish. You're part of it. You're promoted by it. And then BAP promotes him. So, and vice versa.
Well, I'm a strong critic of Yarvin myself. Yeah, like he wrote this essay on UR where he was going after Kevin McDonald. Like, you know, he was saying the new state will be a Jew state. And but actually my original tweet, you know, you see that I was talking about the concept of the cathedral, you know, the whole like Moldbox concept. Like I was specifically attacking Moldbox's like main claim to fame, like his key concept, you know, because precisely because I see it as a way of like ignoring like actual personal connections behind these abstract institutional ideas. Hmm. That was really my point with regards to Yarvin. Like I've been bashing Yarvin for years, actually. You know, I really don't like the guy at all. But BAP does hang around with Yarvin, that's true. I mean, Yarvin hangs around with a lot of people. You know, when I was talking to Wendell, like apparently they're organizing like some kind of art summits in NYC where they're apparently like these kinds of like urbit related events where he's trying to bring on, you know, like leftists and rightists together to collaborate on like, you know, I don't know, art and culture or whatever, because as you know, like Yarvin's a slam poet. So yes. I don't know. Yeah, I don't like Yarvin at all. But I mean, at the same time, you know, Yarvin is connected to quite a lot of people. So that in of itself, you know, it's not a very good thing. But I guess he is just kind of a staple. I don't know.
But consider the story that Yarvin. Well, and Yarvin's connected to Thiel. Thiel and Yarvin are tight. You know, and Yarvin.
That was like the.
He's like the court philosopher of, you know, if you read the Vanity Fair article on the Thiel Network, they call him Lord Yarvin. And he's like,
yeah, I read it.
And Yarvin is the one, you know, the story retold by Michael Anton is that Yarvin, when they met, gave him the Bat Book. And the idea to review the Bat Book came from Beatty, who I like. And so, you know, so that's an important sort of nexus. And it's like, so if Yarvin is big shit at NatCon with Hazzoni and Yarvin gave the idea of Bat Book to Anton and Yarvin is Peter Thiel's favorite because they're fellow, you know, NRX or whatever. It's like, yeah, he does know a lot of people, but also like that relationship seems to be strong. And if that exists, then it's like, you know, again, that this network is real. That's the point. If Yarvin's on Tucker, it's like, you know, so then it's all connected and not in a trivial way, but in a meaningful way.
I never denied its reality. So, yeah.
Yeah. And so what do you think about Tucker then? You said, well, Tucker's a, you know, if this, you said that the Jew Fed, and by the way, the Thiel Fed stuff is a little interesting, you know, like there's some interesting connections that he has with the intelligence community and stuff like Clearview AI and Palantir and Palladium, like, there's some sus stuff there. But you said like, well, the Thiel Bucks being Jewish and Fed doesn't work because, well, Tucker's in there. And it's like, well, I mean, so what's your view on that?
Well, like I said, I wasn't exactly familiar with your exact view on Tucker. Like you had a much more hardline view than I had expected. So like, it's obvious that Tucker appeals to a lot of this kind of New Dealer Democrat nostalgia in his audience, which sort of veers off into this kind of communitarianism. So yeah, like he's definitely not a racial populist. I mean, I don't think anyone thinks he is, but I don't know. Like in general, like in most of the sphere that I inhabit, like Tucker's name tends to be highly valued as like a gateway to he's like red pilling the boomers on white identitarianism or whatever. So but you don't hold that view, and that's fine. Like I actually basically agree. Like he's not really that remarkable ideologically, but I was doing this under the assumption that you had a different view. So it's good to clear this up, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, because I like Tucker, but it's in my opinion the jury's a little bit out on what the net impact will be, because on the one hand I was probably more pro Tucker. I'm still pro Tucker, but I was maybe more so years ago, and that's because there was this idea for a long time, like that we're going to so-called shift the Overton window incrementally. And, in other words, in order to get a boomer con from, where they are to where we are, well, first we got to get them to these sort of incremental steps in between. And so you look at a guy like Tucker, and the idea was, he's part of a pipeline. There's like this pipeline effect of somebody moving from a regular conservative all the way to the furthest right. And so you would see somebody like Tucker, and the perspective that somebody like I would have is, well, he's saying 80 or 90% of what I'm saying. And so he's getting the boomers 80 or 90% of the way there. The problem is, though, that that's not how it's perceived on the other side. If we're to the right of Tucker and they're to the left of Tucker, they don't see Tucker as 80% of us. They see Tucker as 100%. And so if someone agrees with Tucker, then they're like, okay, well, Tucker's right on X, Y, and Z. And so what I've began to notice is over the past couple of years, there's a lot of Zoomers, there's a lot of young guys with like a Josh Hawley profile picture, or like a Ron DeSantis laser eyes profile picture. And they'll go out there and they will, I know, and they'll regurgitate this stuff where they're like, yeah, I'm against immigration because it's a voting rights issue. It is important that we never conflate that with race. And it's like, wait a second, you're supposed to be two steps away from being like a hardcore groiper, and now you're admonishing me for being a racist. It's like this, I don't know if this is having the effect that people thought. So
I was under the...
Yeah, go ahead.
I was under the mistaken impression that Zoomers tended to be either like hardcore AF people or Greer heads. I wasn't aware of like a kind of a left-wing backsliding, so that's good to know.
Yeah, I wouldn't say backsliding so much as it is like, and don't get me wrong, like I don't think that's always necessarily bad. Like I'm sure there are people where Tucker's a gateway and a pipeline. I'm sure there's plenty of people like that. And who knows how many of the Hawley profile pictures are fake AstroTurf bullshit, or it's really just like a liberal, person who's like temperamentally liberal. But the point is, like, you are seeing this nefarious line of thought where you've got people saying, like, we're going to back DeSantis, and, we need someone who's going to win over the middle class moms. It's sort of like, it's this like status quo buyback. Like Trump, what was important about Trump was not even like what he said so much as it was how he said it, and the fact that he was like, he was just anti. And now it's being, the Trumpism is sort of being reformulated into this so-called Trumpism without Trump, or populism, or whatever. And it's really stripping away the essential parts of it and just leaving behind like this industrial policy, this like trade protection, anti-China, immigration restriction. It's like, I support immigration restriction, I support industrial policy, but like those things are not going to fundamentally change the country. And that what Trump brought was like bigger than anything, wasn't even a policy proposal, was just discrediting the media. It was discrediting the dynastic Republican Party, like anti-Washington. That was the biggest thing. It wasn't so much that he was like, pro-tariff or something. And so that's what I see as the big problem, is this like pro regime kind of shit.
I mean, I fully agree with everything you just said. In fact, I mean, this is something that Scott Greer talks about all the time. That's where I really get much of the background on this from his feed. I've been on his show twice, you know, mostly on historical subjects. But yeah, 100% agree with this. And I guess it's a pretty productive discussion. So I guess my next question would be precisely to oppose this kind of populist think nonsense. That seems to me a separate question from the ongoing vendetta with some people on Frog Twitter, but like the way they're conflated right now, it's sort of, like I said, you know, friendly fire alienates people. It sort of, you know, muddies the waters, I guess, because again, I'm not entirely sure how you're combining this broader pushback against all this populist think nonsense, which I agree with should be pushed back against, with the more, you know, personal vendetta, which, you know, I think already on the first day you pretty much wipe the floor anyway. So like, I'm not sure what more is there to say in your opinion.
Yeah, I agree. There's not really much more to say about all that. Yeah, I agree. I thought you were going to come on here and just be like, I don't know, some other way, but yeah. The thing is, I don't like
I'm a peace-loving and peacemaking man. I'm Neville Chamberlain. You know, I'm here to discussing with the Fuhrer. You know, we're here to debate the Munich Accords. You know, peace in our time.
If you're cool with Greer, I love Scott Greer. I think he's awesome. He's not. We disagree a little bit because he's not Catholic, obviously. But I think he's probably one of the finest people out there right now, to tell you the truth. I probably agree with out of anyone that's considered like mainstream, like blue check, you know, has like a thing going on. I probably agree with him like closer than anybody else.
I was on his podcast just last week. So
I'll have to watch it. I do listen to his show, so I'll have to watch that one. But yeah, I mean, we're doing our thing, you know, but we're in like this knife fight where everybody's constantly attacking me. You know, the Groypers have this siege mentality, not like that, but you know, like we're under siege, because we're constantly under attack by like a million different factions. We're under attack by like drama fags on YouTube. We're under attack by like the usual suspects in Con Inc, the Jews, the journalists, as well as then Wignats, you know, people, quote unquote, I wouldn't say they're more right wing than us, but they would say, you know, to our right, as well as, you know, that then you get this Teal funded business. And so we're just constantly this knife fight. Yeah. And, you know, so that's how it has to be. Everybody says, oh, you know, the Groypers are so boisterous. But it's like, well, I mean, you would probably be too if you're constantly getting attacked with, you know, lies and hit pieces and influence ops and stuff like that. So.
Well, then you keep doing your thing and I'll lay off. So
sweet. All right. Cool. Well,
all right.
All right. Well, thanks for calling in.
All right, man. See ya. Take care.
See ya. Yeah, you too. Okay. Well, there you go. There you have it. So I guess that wasn't even like a fight. I guess we just clarified that. I wasn't sure if he was going to jump on here and do the 2CB thing. I'm going to jump on, but not really. So that was good. Yeah, it's hard to tell because sometimes you get these niggas on here and they're like, you know, they have some LARP profile picture and it's like, okay, is this a fucking guy that works for the government and a shill, or is this person like legit? So that was legit. I do like Scott though. I gotta say, Scott has, you know, the only thing he's offended me sometimes a little bit with some of the anti-Catholic stuff, but besides that, His political takes is almost always on the money. You know, he's very critical of this populist ink type stuff. And of course he was a writer for Radix Journal. So he's been on side for a long time. So the other thing is he's a bit of a simp. Other than that, you know, he's a millennial, but other than that, you know, he's basically on the money every time. So, and he's got a very enjoyable podcast, funny guy. So if he's cool with Scott, then he's cool. But yeah, someone pointed out, that girl from yesterday pointed out in the replies to this, to my tweet about this space, that It's interesting that Yarvin calls it the cathedral because it's actually a synagogue. She didn't say this, but she said, you know, that Yarvin attacks the quote unquote cathedral. That's the word. If you're not familiar with Curtis Yarvin and his thinking and unqualified reservations, his power theory is that essentially the people that are running the world are part of something called the cathedral. And the cathedral is this, essentially the comparison to like a Catholic cathedral, like a priestly class of academics. And so he says that the true seat of power, because that's really what all these theories are about, is what is the true seat of power? From where does the authority come politically? Well, he says that the real seat of power is in the so-called cathedral, which is this placeholder for it's the academics. It's the priestly class of academics from the Ivy League institutions, because those are the people that they're the ones that go in the think tanks. They're the ones that populate the professional class. And the ideas come from the cathedral. So he's got this view of the world that it's the scholars and it's universities and academics and intellectuals that are really, that's where everything is coming from. And obviously I never thought of that before, but recently I've been thinking about that. We know who's really running the country. I mean, it's actually a complex question. He's not completely wrong when he says that the elite is decentralized, because I think there's some truth to this, that there is factionalism, that these institutions interact with each other and it's not completely like monolithic. I think anybody would tell you that. Anybody with like a sophisticated view of the world would say that it's complex and not simple. But if you are going to point out some of the more obvious influence in politics, it's Jewish. You know, like to say that that's not there, to pretend that that's not there, of course it is. And it's not just the Israel lobby. This is an important thing that sometimes people don't get, is that there is an Israel lobby, a foreign interest lobby in Washington and elsewhere for the purpose of influencing American foreign policy to benefit Israel. And it's funded by the Israeli state, and it's supported by American Jewish Zionists. And that is the diplomatic support that the United States gives through the State Department and their UN delegation, as well as the military aid, as well as the support from the Department of Defense and the, you know, the war in Iraq and the regime change in Syria, the high pressure campaign against Iran. So there's an Israel lobby. But then separately, not completely separately, but distinct from that, there's also a Jewish lobby where you have the Holocaust industry. And this is where you have this sort of like ADL, SPLC, this anti-hate type stuff. This is where you get these like Jewish federations, other organized Jewry in the world and in America, the World Jewish Congress, the various Jewish federations, that kind of thing. And so, and that's obviously not so much for the purpose of advancing the cause of the Jewish state of Israel, but for advancing Jewish interest collectively in America and in the world. And those are two distinct things. And so Curtis Yarvin is Jewish, and his dad worked for the government, and he was in the Foreign Service. That's what he said. And so when Curtis Yarvin writes about like who's really running the world, he calls it the cathedral. Which is interesting because, you know, well, who built the cathedrals? Catholics, Christians. Would you say that it's Catholics? Is it really Catholics that are running the show? You know, when you talk about, as an example, and I know what he's saying, that the university is analogous to the cathedral, because the cathedral is where the priests were, and the cathedral is actually also where the scholars were in medieval times. So you can like understand what he's saying, that like the university is like, it's an allegory, right? Or it's an analogy. Like you see what he's saying. But it's interesting that he would use that term, because obviously cathedral is Christian, specifically Catholic, but it's not Christians or Catholics that are fashioning the agenda. It's not Christians or Catholics that are the seat of power in America. If it was going to be anybody, it would clearly be Jews. And so Would it not make more sense that it would be a synagogue of rabbis? Would it not be overly litigious, and it would be sort of Talmudic scholars, and it would be people that are sort of foreign but living within a host country? Like, clearly it's not a cathedral, it's a synagogue. I mean, and I'm not trying to say that to be edgy or something, it's what it is, you know? Because in medieval Europe, the Jews existed separately from the Christians. They spoke their own language, they had their own courts, they had their own everything. And they were obviously highly educated, and, you know, the rabbinical Judaism is fixated on not the Old Testament, but the Talmud and the study of the Talmud, which is a comprehensive legal code. And we know this. And of course, this is how Jews are today. Ben Shapiro studies the Talmud. He's a lawyer, you know, Jewish lawyers. Hello. Like, so they existed corporately within Europe, foreign, separately, corporately within Europe. And anyway, it's not to say like, hey, Curtis, why didn't you call it a synagogue and not a cathedral? But the point is to say, like, if anything, like that fits more like literally, but also analogously, but yet we're calling it the cathedral. Like, is that because, you know, Yarvin's Jewish and maybe has antipathy towards Christians? I think yes. And this girl from yesterday's woman, I should say, pointed out that, you know, it would make sense. It would fit. It's consistent with Bronze Age perverts' antipathy towards Catholics, that he would be friends with Yarvin and push that as well. You know, it's not a cathedral. It's definitely something else. So yeah, that's just something I saw in my replies. And once again, that highlights like the real substantive differences between the Groypers and everybody else, because the Groypers are explicitly Christian and explicitly pro-white and explicitly pro-American. All these other things, all of these other people that walk or talk similarly to us, they are not all of those things, strongly or explicitly. Like, a really good example is Joe Kent, who, you know, to the lay person, to the average observer, you could look at Joe Kent's his speeches or his policy platform, and you could say, oh, that guy sounds like Nick. You know, oh, that guy seems like, you know, he seems like America First. Like, Nick should support this guy. Like, that's why we did support him. And then after AFPAC, like a week after AFPAC, he comes out and says, what? We don't agree with the Groypers' position on Israel, and the Groypers are too pro-white, and the Groypers are too pro-Christian. And talking about Christianity and whiteness gets in the way of inclusive populism and bringing in workers of the world. And it's like, you know, so that highlights kind of the core difference. Same thing with like Yarvin and Bap. Like, these are meaningful differences. It's not just like, oh, we talk about the Jews. Well, like, you know, but that kind of matters. It's like, what is your fundamental worldview? Is it a Catholic Christian worldview, or is it a secular or Jewish worldview? It's like, that matters. And you want to know why it matters? Because the current leadership in the right-wing movement is Jewish or secular. Like, so clearly we're not getting the Republican Party that we want or that we need, because the leadership is not like us. Its worldview is not fundamentally like ours. Yeah, the Republican Party's pro-life. Yeah, they're pro-2A, just like us. And yeah, they're in favor of, you know, tax cuts and that kind of thing. And it, broadly speaking, it's like there's a lot of agreement, but fundamentally they are different. You know, and that's where you get a guy like Joe Kent. No. Israel's a closest ally. And no. Let's not be too pro-white or too pro-Christian. That's divisive. It's like, okay, so we're not really the same. I mean, you're really pushing the same stuff as like any other Republican. And same with these guys. I mean, if Lord Yarvin owns everything under Peter Thiel's empire, you know, is that going to be better than the Biden administration? I mean, yeah, probably. But are we going to get the kind of like Christian, a majority white country that we want? No, we're not. We've literally just replaced Biden with like the worst of Trump's Zionist impulses. You know, we're going to get like, I don't know, Stephen Miller or whatever. So anyway, so that stuff matters. But yeah, I just wanted to do a quick space to talk to that guy, but it seems like we agree on everything already. Someone's DMing me. They say, Bapp is Jewish. He has a very unusual surname for a Romanian, one that is frequently associated with Romanian Jews. His brother is an exec at UBS Investment Bank and started his career at Eurasia Group. He is married to a VP from Deutsche Bank with the maiden name. I'm not going to dox that, but okay. He speaks at conferences about geopolitical risk and never face doxes. Interesting. Okay, well, I'm seeing some proof here. Yeah, okay, damn. What the? So the brother is an executive director with UBS Political and Country Risk. He is head of Americas. Prior to that, worked at Eurasia Group, head of product development. He has also worked for Deloitte, Bank of Tokyo, JP Morgan, graduate of Georgetown, and has a master's degree from Columbia. LOL. Are you kidding me, dude? LOL. Oh, my gosh. So Bab is literally Jewish and went to MIT in Colombia, and he's from Romania, and his brother is a literal banker married to a Jew who went to Colombia in fucking Georgetown. Georgetown is like the biggest spook university there is, by the way. Georgetown in D.C., if you know anything about anything, Georgetown is like spook central. Like maybe more than Harvard and Yale. Georgetown is like the epitome of glowies, feds, international, globalists, that kind of thing. That is unbelievable. Wow. Yeah, someone just DM'd that all to me. Could you tweet that out? I'll retweet it. For those that miss it. Bapp is Jewish, very unusual surname for Romanian, frequently associated with Romanian Jews. Brother is an exec at investment bank. He's married to a VP from Deutsche Bank with maiden name, Jewish name. and they all live in New York. And they all live in New York City. Hi, I'm a graduate of Georgetown, and my wife is Jewish, and I'm Jewish. And I live in New York City, and I work in an investment bank. And I'm here to help you, and I'm just like you. And hello, fellow frogs. Animal. I say animal. What is his tagline about how this make feel? How this make feel? Hi, pleased to meet you. I'm Jewish. My wife is Jewish. I graduated Georgetown. I work at an investment bank. And I live in New York City. How this make feel? Ba-dum-ps. How this make feel? Let me throw my fuck at you. How this make feel? Animal. What if I do? Silly Romanian accent. Unreal. Yeah, this is what I'm talking about. I've talked about this a lot. Things don't, when you go online, these things all come from somewhere, okay? Everybody that's anonymous, everyone that's wearing a mask, these are all real people out there in the world, and it actually matters who they are. I'm not saying, like, yeah, go out and dox everybody, but I am saying, like, it matters who these people are. And so a lot of people take it for granted. It's like, oh, that guy funny. Like, that guy funny. That guy say things I agree with. It's like, okay, but we're talking about politics. This stuff is actually really high stakes. And so, like, it matters how the political conversation, like, where the political conversation is going. And powerful people will go to great lengths and spend money trying to influence the direction of that conversation. And so, if you're in a political conversation, there's a non-zero chance that that's happening. And so, particularly when you see these leaders, especially ones that are anonymous, it matters who they are. Like, it matters if you're, like, are you hearing from an honest person or someone that at the minimum you know, like, what they're about? Or are you being influenced by somebody who's a Jewish investment banker that went to Georgetown? You know, that's his brother, by the way, not him, but it gives you an idea. It's like, what I'm trying to say is real radicals and real revolutionaries are not Jewish immigrants from Romania that studied at Ivy League universities and are up with bankers and no one knows where the money comes from, and they roll with other Jews and they attack Catholics. Like, sorry, but like, they're not like us. The people that follow me are high schoolers. You know, when I do my streams, the people that jump on the space are in fucking high school, you know? And so when you see the so-called groypers or the frogs on Twitter, it's high schoolers and it's college kids. It's broke people from America. It's broke, not always, but you know what I'm trying to say. It's like not powerful people, not people with skin in the game from America who are young. And then you'll have a guy like Bap who enters into these circles and says, "Hi, fellow frogs." And you'll have like some like 21-year-old broke college kid who's like, "Wow, this guy's my hero." And their hero is a fucking Jewish immigrant banker who is lying to them and hates Christians. Like, yeah, sorry, pal. You're not like us. You're not a frog. You are not a groiper. You are not a dissident. You're not a revolutionary. Like, that doesn't work, you know? So that's kind of a big problem. And especially when they attack somebody like me, because I'm legit. The woman is texting me. She says, "I listen to Bap's podcast, and he seems to be shilling for the mercenary lifestyle all the time, as if working for Blackwater is a glamorous adventure. He also shills British Lord Miles spook on Twitter." Yeah, that's legit. So there you go. So there you have it. There you have it. That's our space. Fed Bronze Age pervert is a spook. Bap is a spook. Tweeting it. Retweet it right now. This is organic engagement. This is organic. This is real. This is Christians saying, "Oh, I'm going to tweet another thing. It's not the cathedral. It's the synagogue." Retweet that one too. Retweet. Got to boost me. I don't have any teal bucks, so you got to boost this for me, okay? I need my high schoolers. I need my college kids to give me a boost, because I don't have Romanian Jewish investment bankers boosting it for me. Boom! Boom! Botswana! Boom! Guess what, Yarvin? Hey, guess what, Lord Yarvin? It's not going to be a Jewish state. It's going to be a Catholic monarchy. Boom! Boom! Yeah, I'm back on Twitter. Bitch, I'm back out of my coma. Boom. Botswana. Boom. Boom. Dropping bombs. Yeah, this Catholic fights back. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Yeah, pederast. Did you see his forum articles about pederasty, by the way? These are literally the people that everybody... That's unbelievable to me that you have Bronze Age pedophile is what he is. Bronze Age pedophile is going to go on a forum 10 years ago and he supports pederasty, which is man-boy sex, okay? He's pushing adult men having sex with little boys on a forum. And then now he's on Twitter telling everyone to post physique. Yeah, go figure. Tweeting that, by the way. Bronze Age pedophile posts in support of pederasty, man-boy love, on a forum 10 years ago, now solicits shirtless pictures, parentheses, post physique, from young men. Emoji. Well, nothing to see here, emoji. Nothing to see here, by the way. Hey, shit. Eat shit, you're not even funny. You know why I hate Bap the most? He's not even funny. That's why I hate him more than anything. Not even because he attacked me. Not even because he's a spook. But because he's not funny. Eat shit, you unfunny bitch. Retweet. Boost that one. Boost that one. Boost it. Boost it. Retweet it. Retweet it now. Everyone must retweet this. Pinning these. Pinning these. Bronze Age pedophile posted in support of pederasty, parentheses, man, boy love on a forum 10 years ago. Now solicits shirtless pictures posted from young men. Nothing to see here. Yeah, people are going to call me gay. Hey, I've never went on the timeline and said, hey, wouldn't it be funny if all these shirtless young men, 20 years my junior, posted pictures of themselves? Wouldn't that be funny? Wouldn't it be totally funny? And wouldn't it piss off the cathedral if... if a bunch of adolescent men posted naked pictures of me, wouldn't that be so LOL? Yeah, because say whatever you want about me, but I never did that. Boom. Boom. Eat shit. I drop bombs, okay? I don't miss. I don't miss, all right? I'm a goy going off. This is one pissed off goy right here. This is one ignorant goy. You know, all these people are trying to keep me down. They're saying, Nick, you can't go off like that. Stop saying the N-word. You got to cool your jets. I'm an ignorant goy, okay? That's not in my vocabulary, all right? I'm literally just a goy going off. Enraged goy. That's my next account, enraged goy. Punished goy. True goy energy here. All right, I'm retweeting this. Someone just sent this to me. This is from Bap. He says, I want to see the use of tactical nukes in Europe. Orgy of redemption, physical fire. Putler should punish the Serbs and Bulgarians. Oh, that may just be a joke, I guess. But he's posting a gay picture, I guess. Maybe that's what it is. Sick. You're sick. We've had enough of these investment bankers telling the goy what to do. Yeah. Immigrant Jewish investment, immigrant Ivy League Jewish investment banker who hates Christians. Be like, hee. Hello, my fellow frogs. Animal. How make feel? Smirk emoji. Laugh emoji. Boom! Yeah, this is ridiculous. This is the last day I'm doing this, by the way. I wouldn't have even been doing this. I didn't even want to do a space today, but, that guy was like, I want to discuss with you in a space. So I was like, okay. And now people are DMing me and they're like, yo, here's the latest. So, because I'm just here sipping this vanilla nitro Pepsi all day. I spilled it all over my kitchen. It's disgusting. Okay. Well, it's not disgusting, but I just hate spills. I saw this video of a guy pouring a nitro Pepsi and he said, well, the way you have to do it is hold the can sideways. And crack it open slowly, because then if you tilt it sideways, the nitrogen remains in the can and doesn't disperse vertically into the air. But what happens is it just explodes outward, and it just exploded everywhere, all over everything, which sucks. So how about a Bronze Age Pepsi? How about a Bronze Age Nitro Pepsi? Did you see me owning all these idiots who are complaining about Nitro Pepsi the other day. Sickos. Stop lying about Bronze Age Pepsi. So who paid you? Who put you up to this? Who put you up to attacking Nitro Pepsi online? How are my tweets doing? Let's see. BAP is a spook. 150 retweets. Not enough. It's not the cathedral. It's a synagogue. 167 retweets. Not enough. Keep retweeting. Keep retweeting. Keep liking. There's 600 people in here. We need more retweets. Isn't it amazing that I'm getting like almost 3,000 followers after like 3 days? Niggas be like, your viewership is fake. Really? So I'm getting 100% of my live audience to follow me on Twitter in 2 days? Oh, okay. That's so keck to me. Like, because when people are accusing me of that, people are like, okay, well, now you got to respond. It's like, really? So let's get this straight. So we had 50% of my live audience buy $150 tickets to an in real life conference in Orlando, Florida, and attend. 50%. Every other person watching my show bought a $150 ticket and flew to Orlando. Oh, really? And then when I make a new Twitter account, every single person who watches my show is, yeah, okay, that makes perfect sense. That just was ridiculous on its face. 10 million monthly views, and they're coming from I don't even know what. Jaden's 50 viewer streams. Sure. So that's just an aside. It's another detour. Another CAC detour. La la la. People are requesting. I don't really want to talk to any of you right now. No offense. No offense, but I'm not really in the mood to talk to any of you. This one's a libtard, though. Fan of liberal democracy. Stand with Ukraine. Now, fuck Ukraine. Hope Ukraine gets ground into the dirt. It is awesome that Ukraine is being defeated. Did you see this article in the Washington Post where all of the foreign Legion fighters are just getting absolutely raped to death in Ukraine? It was on DS today. Let me pull up the article. Too funny. It's Washington Post interviewing the deserting foreign legions. It says, one of the fighters who agreed to speak to the paper over concerns of his own safety, blah, 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 arrived in Ukraine. He's a U.S. Marine Corps veteran. U.S. Marine Corps veteran. U.S. Marine Corps veteran. Arrived in Ukraine days after Russia launched his military operation. He and several other foreign fighters were tasked with assisting and training Ukrainian troops in the use of U.S.-made anti-tank Javelin missiles. He was deployed northwest of Kiev, where they came under heavy Russian fire. The Marine Corps veteran recalled that while his team had been issued Javelins, they had no batteries for the launch units, which effectively rendered the missiles unusable. After 2 nights under heavy Russian bombardment, 8 out of 20 foreign fighters from his unit abandoned their positions. A fellow U.S. Marine veteran tried to break his machine gun with a rock, hoping to pass it off as battle damage, while another one feigned injury. That's too funny. And then there's a few more stories, same thing. You have to love the idea of like some kind of like total badass, certified badass, like U.S. military veteran with like the tattoos and like the guns and Constitution tattooed on their side. And they're like, you know, what Russia's doing is messed up. I'm going to go help our boys out there. Let's wake up them Ruskies, you know, democracy style. And you have to imagine all these jugheads, all these Marine veterans, shipping out. All right, let's go, boys. Hoorah. And they go in there and they just get fucking annihilated by Russians. they go drive out. All right, boys. I love the smell of napalm in the morning. And instead of, you know, kicking ass, they just have no equipment and just get like completely obliterated by Russian missiles. And they all die or run away. That's kind of funny. So we've been enjoying that. So this guy supports Ukraine. Cringe. Cringe. you have the actor who plays something in your space. I don't know what that is. The woman is texting me. She says, he also says his favorite radio host is Michael Savage. Like, recently he said this. I listen to him because I find him entertaining, but he's sus. Yeah, Michael Savage is sus as well, Jewish. I don't know that much about Michael Savage, though, but yeah, it's legit. Do 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 do. Remember when we were on TikTok? Oh, man, those were good times. Let's see. Anything else in my replies? Happy Memorial Day, by the way. Happy Memorial Day. Tweeting that. Happy Memorial Day. Meme War veteran. I'm a veteran of the Meme War. I'm a Meme War veteran. I get so much engagement on this account, it's ridiculous. I literally come on Twitter like yesterday or the night before, and the engagement is just like insane. I just like, it's wild. That's because I'm a power user. Because I'm a fucking Twitter power user, okay? Because I'm good at this. I'm the best at this. I'm the best at this. I'm better than you at this. I'm the best at this, all right? I'm a Twitter power user. You can't fake that. I log on the timeline. I get thousands of followers. I get engagement. I shake it up. I come on the timeline. I shake it up. I'm bombastic, nigga. I'm lugubrious. So, yeah. Yeah, people don't give me enough credit. How do you think I got this far, huh? You think I got this far by being nice? I didn't come here to make friends, all right? I came here for total victory. I love this meme war era. Meme war era meme from Boston AF. Yeah, red pill going in. Aw, yeah. This is how we do it. What else? What else we got going on? Yeah, that's all I have to say. This is a BAP like, by the way. I love how he's just like liking all these tweets. Somebody tweets out, I don't care much for what's going on, but trad hate for BAP is very laughable, TBH. Oh, is it? It's called We Do a Little Kecking. It's called We Do a Little Keck. Keck check? It's these Jews, man. But it's what it is. Remember when Trump said that? It's what it is. We tried to get tickets. I'm talking about to the television audience. You can't get them. It's what it is. It's these Jews, man. It's these Jews attacking us. Every time I start thinking like, yeah, you know, maybe it's more complicated than that, then it's like, nah, definitely. It's actually quite simple sometimes. It's actually quite simple. Huh. Somebody tagged me in a BAP tweet. A Pooh Vibe wants to jump in. And some others. I don't really want to talk to you right now, though. I don't really want to talk to you. Someone tagged me in this tweet. Saw a, quote, monarchist trad in cafe other day. 20-year-old guy with three-piece suit, pocket, kerchief, mustache, and, of course, a mask he took off only for coffee. I'm sure he thought, quote, meathead Chad's banging, quote, hot thoughts is, quote, degenerate. And he stands alone against this late Roman carnival of sin. Reality he'd have to face if he got over using religious and constipated performance to channel his incel rage is that the dominant culture agrees with him that meathead Chad's banging hot thoughts is problematic and hierarchical, and that woke believe in exalting the humble. So this is just reheated Nietzsche. That what, Christianity is a slave religion? Is that, that's the hot take? The hot take is that Christians are using morality to cope with and rationalize weakness. Yawn. Wow. We have never. Wow. I didn't know that. You're telling me for the first time. I've never heard this before. People seriously fall for this garbage. And understand, this is very pernicious, because what he's saying is like he's introducing, he's trying to obfuscate morality. He's introducing confusion into a moral question. And he's basically saying, if you don't want to sin, well, you're just a pussy. If you don't want to sin, oh, well, libtards agree with you. And like, that's a problem, actually. It's a problem when people introduce evil into the equation and try to create moral confusion about it. Oh, this dork was ordering a coffee. I'm sure he thought that sinning is bad. Yeah, because it actually doesn't matter what a person looks like or how they order their coffee or whatever. Sin is evil. Yeah, sin is wrong. We are told by the Son of God, God himself, to sin no more. So, yeah, it actually doesn't matter how cool you think it is or whatever. Hot babes. Yeah. Hi, yeah. I've been on this planet for 23 years. I've seen women. I know how they make us feel. Sin is evil. Sin is wrong. Sin is the enemy of man. Sin is the enemy of life. So, you know, people like to hand wave this kind of stuff away, but that's actually a big problem if our so-called thought leaders, self-appointed thought leaders, are creating confusion about morality, which I see often, where people say, well, you know, premarital sex isn't really that bad. And, you know, oh, well, whatever, you know, we can't get so autistic. It's like, listen, yeah, not everybody will be perfect, but it's different to say that we fail and have to repent and seek forgiveness. That is different from saying sin isn't a big deal. Those are two completely different things. Yes, we will all sin. We're not supposed to, and we strive to never sin, but of course we'll fall short. That's why forgiveness is offered to us. But that's a big difference from saying sin is not that big of a deal, and probably it's fine. That's literally the devil talking. That is literally the devil who has a bed made for you in hell. The devil has prepared a bed for you in hell with him forever. That is his influence. Saying, oh, it's not so bad. Come on. What are you, some kind of a dork? You don't want to have sex with? Come on. What are you, a Chad? You don't want to be a dork. You only dorks are against premarital sex. Chads have sex with hot babes because they can. You're not moral. You're just not a Chad. That's the devil talking. That is the devil preparing a bed for you in hell by telling you that sin is really not such a big deal. And, you know, you should want to be cool. Big problem. And this is how Jews talk. Because Jews don't believe in sin, and they don't believe in all that. Okay, they're not like Christians, you know. That's why saying Judeo-Christian is problematic. That's why obfuscating the difference is problematic. Because we, as Christians, have a whole system here, okay? There's one way to life, and that is through Jesus. That's it. Not through Gnosticism, not through whatever, not through being clever and weightlifting. Jesus didn't come and say, you can access eternal life through me or weightlifting or through me or through, Talmudic study. No, there's one way. There is one door. There is one way to get to our destiny in heaven with God, and that's through Christ, and that is through his church, and that is through keeping his commandments. That's how. And so when you get somebody who comes around saying, hey, follow me. Yeah, going through Christ and all that. Yeah, I mean, that's great and everything. Good for you. But actually, I disagree. Big problem. Big problem. Big problem for me. So you see a tweet like this. Saw, quote, monarch is trad. Basically calling him a dork. I'm sure he thought that, and you know, you understand the point that he's making. But he's trying to create moral confusion, which is a problem. We don't need any more of that. We don't need any more of that. We're living in a spiritual crisis. We have been for a long time. And people think that we're going to solve the spiritual crisis by not healing our spirits, not healing our souls, and instead looking for some surrogate, some substitute for the body. And it's like, you know, you're kind of missing the point. It's more spooks. Yeah, communism didn't heal the soul. Liberalism didn't heal the soul. McDonald's didn't heal the soul. And guess what? Your bodybuilding, paganism will not heal the soul either. You know, your Straussian, Jabotinsky, Jewish, Zionist cult is not going to heal the soul either. We are societies made up of people. People have souls. Everything's broken because the souls are broken, are lost. There is one way to fix the problems. There is literally one way. And there's no hack. There's no, like, trick. It's very simple. You can choose the devil or you can choose God. Those are your options. There's no, like, well, we're going to be nice to the God people, but we're not devil people. Like, no. Like, there is one way or the other way. But that's it, okay? It's on or off. You're either with God or you're with the devil. But there's not... There's all these Jews out there saying, like, well, we're going to be nice to the Christians, but, you know, we're going to be nice to the people that are with God, but we're not really with God. Okay, then you're with the devil. Okay, I mean, you're not with God, you're with the devil. So everyone's going to choose. Everyone has to choose. And you don't get to say, well, I'm just kind of hanging out over here. Where is that? With Zeus? Zeus isn't real. With Jupiter? Jupiter's not real. With some pagan folk deity, yeah, that whatever that isn't real. So, time to choose. You're either increasing in holiness or you're decreasing. It's dynamic. You're always going in one direction. You're going towards heaven or towards hell. And you know where does this messaging? Where does that? How is that moving you along the scale? Is that moving you along the scale when somebody says, "If you don't have sex, you're a dork"? You know where is that leading people? Big problem. Anyway. So. Anyway, I think I've made my point. Anything else? Any other content? Let me check my mentions. Any other content? Anyone interesting calling in? Nope. Just losers. Nah, kidding. Kidding. I love you guys, but I just don't really want to talk to you right now. Somebody's in my replies talking about Jaden. Oh, yeah. The Jaden people are very nervous about what I'm going to say. They're coping and seething. They're like, what's Nick going to do? Say that Jaden had a girlfriend? Say he got drunk? So what? That's not even a big deal. You'll see. You'll see. Relax. Just relax. But I'm not going to cover that here. I may cover that later. I may not. I don't know. We'll see. What else? Any other good content in the mentions? La, 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 la. La, la, la. Thoughts on, someone says, thoughts on E. Michael Jones' interview on the history of AF. I didn't see that. Somebody told me about that. He said, if you're young, you don't know shit. I saw that part. I love when these old people are always talking trash about me. It's just typical. All these old heads get on a podcast and be like, you know, hey, here's some piece of advice to that punk kid, Nick Fuentes. You know, you're just fulfilling the archetype, pal. Just fulfilling the archetype. I like you, Michael Jones, but I don't like when people are always like talking trash. It's like, if you got something to say, you got my number. You know, you want to son me, you want to mentor me. You know, but everyone's always giving their take. I just keep glitching out here. Yeah, all right. I'm going to end this space in a sec. Someone says Fed Academic entered your chat. Who? Oh, Charlie Wall Andrews, she, her. Yikes. Nice face. Sorry, I don't know she's hostile necessarily. What's her story though? Gender diversity org. The state of diversity among leadership roles. Jeez. Was she trans or he, I guess then? Yikes. Yikers. All right. I think that individual, whatever's going on there, left when I called him, her out. Sure. Him, her. All right. That's all I got for you. That's all I have for today. I didn't really even want to go off, but that guy wanted to jump in and talk. So we talked, and then someone texted me some funny monkey stuff. And that's all I have to say. So happy Memorial Day. I got to do my show tonight. Man, I don't want to do my show. There's nothing in the news. There's nothing to talk about in the news even. I don't even want to do my show. Good evening. You're watching America First. My name is... Great show for you tonight. Wow, our first story is about, you know, the United States won't sell Ukraine long-range missiles. It's all so tiresome. And what else even happened today? I don't even know. Tom Cruise got his first $100 million opening weekend. Fucking terrific. Let me just ratio this stupid nigga first. Yeah, could you just retweet this one real quick? Then I'm going to go. One more ratio, then it's time to go. Go, go, go. Retweet it. Pinned it in the space. Retweet it. Retweet the pin tweet. Put it on your timeline. Retweet the pin tweet. 500 people. I want to see 500 retweets right now. And then I'm ending the space. Okay? Ratio this stupid nigga. Let's get the retweets going. Then I'm out. Then I'm out of here. Then I'm gone. Then I'm done. Then you'll have to tune into my show. 9 o'clock Central, cozy.tv/Nick. I'm tired, man. And I'm hungry. Niggas is hungry. All right. Let me see. How's my ratio doing? How's this delightful little ratio doing? They're almost 200. Let's get to 200, and then we're done. Let's get to 200, and then it's over. All right. We're almost there. 165, 171. Come on. We need 30 more retweets. Retweet. It's pinned in the space. Come on, 25 more. We can help us reach our goal. Help us reach our goal. We can do it. I believe in us. 19 more. Help us reach our goal to end the space. 16, 10 more retweets. 9 more retweets to end the space. Help us reach our goal. 5 more. We're almost there. Okay, 200. All right, that's it. That's all I got for you. Thanks for listening. I'll be back at 9.